pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This Eastern Conference Play-In Tournament Betting Picks and Eastern Conference Series Betting Picks edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using our promo code NBASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, we're also brought to you by the NFL Draft and the Old Fashioned Football Podcast. They are giving away NFL merch. To enter, just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest. Again, in honor of the NFL draft coming up, Old Fashioned Football is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest to enter today. Welcome, everyone, to the NBA Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Tuesday, April the 16th, currently 11:12 on the East Coast. Here to get into the Eastern Conference Play-In Tournament games that are happening on Wednesday. Recording a day early here to get this out to you guys. And we'll also preview the two confirmed Eastern Conference series between the Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks, as well as the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Terrell and I did the games for the Western Conference on the Monday pod. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, still time to get to that. And we also preview the Clippers and the Mavericks, along with the Phoenix Suns and the Minnesota Timberwolves. But joining me here to help me break everything down in the Eastern Conference, you guys know him as a voice of the Tennis Gambling Podcast, the WNBA Gambling Podcast, the MLB Gambling Podcast, and of course here on the NBA Gambling Podcast, it's Scott Studio Rochelle. Scott, what's going on, my man? How are you doing this Tuesday morning?
Yeah, doing pretty well. It's close to the end of the season in hockey for the regular season, and my team made the playoffs. The Islanders won yesterday, so I'm doing pretty well. That feels good. Won my bets yesterday as well, so that worked out well. So, can't complain. In a bit of a good mood. I also saw that we have a special guest appearance by the most well-known ref of them all in the first game tonight, as Scott Foster is making his return. I haven't seen his name in any of the regular season games for the last couple weeks. They were prepping him to come back for the playoffs, I guess. But Scott Foster will be there reffing the LeBron game tonight. What can possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong indeed? And I know you and I were on the Mothership show yesterday with Sean and Kramer. And I said, this is the time of year where at least I wake up every morning. I'm not checking my messages. I'm checking the referee report. And lo and behold, that's the first thing I did this morning. And the first name I see there is Scott Foster on the Lakers game. So what could go wrong for the LA Lakers in this game? So we got West here tonight on Tuesday. Again, we already recorded that episode with myself and Terrell. So if you haven't had a chance, you can go back and listen to that. But we're here for the Eastern Conference. Did get some injury news about Giannis, but I think we'll save that when we do actually preview the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers series. So wait for that. Scott, I'm going to give you the floor here. Me and Terrell gave our NBA Finals predictions yesterday to kick off the show. I know you weren't on yesterday, but I wanted to give you the opportunity here to give us your NBA Finals predictions here for this upcoming postseason. What are you thinking? Who's going to be in the finals and who's winning it?
It's really, really tricky. Can I get back to you if I find out the Nuggets play the Lakers in the first round or not? I think I'm going to go with the Nuggets to win the whole thing. I just think at the end of the day, I know their bench isn't that good, but I expect Joker and Murray to probably play 40-plus minutes apiece. I think they're the best duo in the league based on chemistry. Best starting five in the league by a wide margin.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Denver to win the whole thing. I hopefully never see Reggie Jackson on a court ever again. But I'm hoping that Brown gets more minutes, Watson gets more minutes. Maybe they'll phase Reggie Jackson out. But I'm going to go with Denver. I just think that Joker's the best player in the world, and I think they'll be able to repeat. So I'll go with them. For the East, oh boy. I mean, Boston's the chalky pick, and I can't stand Missoula, but do I think any of these teams in the East I actually trust? Not really. Like, the Knicks are interesting, but I think Boston would beat them based on talent. I think I'm just going to go chalk here. I'll take the Nuggets over the Celtics.
Terrell had Denver as well, and I was debating between Dallas just to change it up and Denver as well. I actually went with Dallas. So I actually picked Philly to come out, I think.
Okay.
I think they're, again, if they win on Wednesday night, they'll end up playing the Knicks. And I do think that they'll beat the Knicks, and then they'll end up playing the winner of Indiana and Milwaukee, which that series now is going to be very interesting, like I mentioned with the Giannis news this morning. But again, it's last season, last couple of years, it's been the Glenn Doc Rivers thing. It's been the James Harden thing for me. And now you do have Nick Nurse, who I definitely think is a better coach than Doc Rivers. And you also have the talent as well. I know we talked about this yesterday on the mothership. So I don't want to, repeat everything I'm saying, especially on the episode from yesterday. But Boston is primed. This is the most talented team that they've had, the most deep team that they've had as well, with the guys that they have next to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, with Porzingis and Derek White and Drew Holiday, Al Horford, has those one or two games in the playoffs.
You forgot the best game 82 player in NBA history, Peyton Pritchard on the
bench. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston is there, but again, like you mentioned, it is really, really Joe Mazzulla for me, when it does come to, like you mentioned, Boston getting over the hump and actually winning.
I don't like Missoula at all either. Yeah. I mean, they went to game seven last year. They were down 3-0, but at the end of the day, Boston's been struggling lately, but they haven't cared. They clinched everything about a month ago. So yeah. I'm hoping they put together a better effort. Are they going to be idiots at various points in the playoffs? Of course they are. Yeah. But I think that they will be leading a lot of these games because they're more talented than every other Eastern Conference team by a decent margin. So yeah. I'm going to lean Boston. I hate it, but I don't really have many great choices from the East. And the West, I think, is dicey, but it's really tough to see anybody besides Denver advancing until I physically see somebody beat Denver. I just think chemistry-wise and just based on the overall, just I'd say, offensive execution, with Joker being the main quarterback of that offense, they just get better looks in their opponents on a regular basis, and I think that's good enough for me.
Yeah. All right. All right, before we get into the play-in tournament games for Wednesday in the Eastern Conference, like I mentioned, the NFL draft is just around the corner, and our friends over at the Old Fashioned Football Podcast with Mr. J. Mark and his better half, they have a nice little contest going for the NFL draft. It's a giveaway with some autographed merchandise to celebrate JSN, Travis Etienne, Frank Gore, J.K. Dobbins. Come join them on the Old Fashioned Football Podcast. Come for the football. And if you are a whiskey drinker, they do an absolutely fantastic job as well of breaking down different type of whiskeys on the podcast as well. So join J. Mark and Mrs. J. Mark on their podcast, again, for the NFL draft, which is just around the corner. They're giving away some autographed merch. Is absolutely free to enter. All you got to do is go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest. Again, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest. All right, Scott, let's get into these two games here for the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference, and then we'll break down the two series that are confirmed in the East between the Pacers and the Bucks and the Magic and the Cavaliers. So the first game, that's going to be on the schedule for Wednesday. That is going to be the Miami Heat. They are in Philadelphia to take on the Sixers. Sixers are currently now a 4-point favorite. This was hovering around 4.5 on Monday, and when the lines did drop. But right now, it seems like some money has come in on the Miami Heat. Total is at 207 in this game. Let me see if they have submitted injury report for this game here. Let me go to the injury report. But the one player that is going to be out for the Sixers that Nick Nurse did say is going to be Robert Covington. He will be missing the rest of the season and most likely the postseason as well. We did see Joel Embiid return. He looks relatively healthy. Tyrese Maxey, Kelly Oubre, all those guys should be out there as well. For the Miami Heat as well, they're expecting everybody to play. I know Terry Rozier has been battling the neck spasms. Duncan Robinson has been out as well, but they are all expected to play against the Philadelphia 76ers on Wednesday night. Sixers laying 4 here. Scott, what are we thinking about this game?
So I think for this one, 4.5 did seem a bit large. I think that this game, if you just look at it at face value, it screams one possession late in the fourth quarter, doesn't it? Now, I'm not saying it's going to play out that way, but we know Miami's been playing better basketball lately because they got healthy, assuming Rozier's neck is fine, but they have played better recently. Then again, playing Toronto in back-to-back games to end the year probably helps with that, but still, Miami has looked better. Philly's 1-8 straight. Philly's been in really good form. I recognize that, but I think we do know that Spoelstra is always a threat to steal you a game all by himself because of his phenomenal game planning, and we do think that this should be a close game. Now, the issue I have with Miami is that they lost the first play-in game last year and then won the second one and made the NBA Finals. So I guess the question I have for you is, if the Heat go down early by a decent amount, is there a chance mentally that they roll over because they know they have another play-in game coming up against either Chicago or Atlanta? I don't know. Is that a possibility?
I think so. I think both you and I would agree that whichever team loses this game is more than likely to beat the winner of the Bulls and Hawks. So,
yeah.
And I obviously having the advantages, obviously, when you're the 7th or 8th seed in this play-in tournament, that you have to win just one out of the two games, possibly that you play to get into the playoffs, right? So I think you're right that, again, if they're maybe down, 15, 20 points with, 7-8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you probably...
I think mentally, beginning of the fourth quarter, they're down,
15. Yeah.
There's no guarantee they're going to leave it all on the line there.
Yeah. At that point. So I think that then, you know, with the injuries that they have dealt with this season, that they are down, let's say, double digits in that fourth quarter, I think you probably just throw in the flag at that point and be like, hey, let's get ready for us to play the winner of the Hawks and the Bulls. Well, I do think that either if it's Miami that's up or if it's the Sixers that are up, I think both of these teams are more than capable of beating either one of those teams here. So I think both these teams are in a good spot here. Well, we'll talk about the Bulls and the Hawks here in a minute, but I think, yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to take the Heat plus the points here. I think this is a game that comes down to the wire, one possession, final minute, might just come down to free throws. I think that Philly does pull off the victory here straight up, but I do think that this is a game that the Miami Heat can keep it within 4 points in this game. So I'll take the Miami Heat plus the points here. Total's at 207. I'm on the under here again. This is probably going to be one of those games where first to 100 or first to 102 ends up winning this game. So I'm definitely on the under here. Again, talked about it yesterday, but both these teams defensively have been really good. But I think that one thing that really sticks out is that when you take a look at pace for both of these teams, Scott, that they're both bottom in the league when it comes to that category since the All-Star break. So Miami, the second slowest pace when it comes to post All-Star break, and then the Philadelphia 76ers are playing at the fourth slowest pace. And then defensively quickly, Miami Heat, the second best defensive rated team since the All-Star break, and the Philadelphia 76ers tied with the New York Knicks at number 10 as far as the best defensive rated team. So this should be some type of 90s basketball, I'm thinking, slow, grind it out. And I think it does end up getting under the total here.
Yeah, I'm going to lean under as well. We know Spoelstra is not afraid of throwing different defensive looks, which can definitely keep offenses off balance. I expect to see zone at some point in this game. I'm not sure how long they're going to be in zone, but we know Miami's not afraid of doing it, and it's success in the playoffs last year using it. So I think they'll do the same thing. It's various points in this game, switching up coverages, trying to make Philly uncomfortable, and we'll see if Nurse can make some adjustments. Nurse kind of does the same thing. So I expect both offenses to struggle in this game. I am going to lean to the under. As for the actual side, I didn't really mention my thoughts before. I'm going to lean Miami for the points, but I think my favorite play in this game is going to be Philly to win by 1 to 10 points at plus 170. I still like the home court. I like the form they've been in. Kaysen mentions maybe a close game. You get free throws at the end. Definitely a possibility. We know Embiid's going to try to live at the free throw line. I think Philly's going to get the job done, but I think it's going to be a very close game. So give me the Sixers to win by 1 to 10 points at plus 170.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. Again, I think that if we're thinking that this game is going to be a close one, that and Philly does pull it off, then you kind of give yourself that extra margin of that 1 to 10 in case they do end up covering this game by a couple points.
I don't want to sweat out the free throws at the end. Yeah, they're not going to foul down 8. They're not going to foul down 9. But if they're down 3, then suddenly you're sweating out free throws in the final 5 seconds, I'll pass. Just give me Philly 1 to 10.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right, let's get over to player props in this game. Anything you're looking at here, Scott?
Well, I feel like everyone's going to blindly consider Jimmy Butler because it's against Philly, and he just did a Slam Magazine piece talking about how everyone's afraid of the Jimmy. Calm down. At least make it into the bracket first. Calm down. Like, relax. But I think Butler's going to play well. I'm not sure how well, but are all his props juiced upwards? I'm assuming they are, but I have to quickly just pull up what his numbers are.
Based points on- are 23.5 minus 108. The under's at minus 112. Rebounds, let's see. Jimmy Butler, 5.5 at minus 118. And his assists are at 5.5 at plus 102, actually.
Yeah, so I do think that they're pricing Jimmy Butler playoff edition already. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't exactly make me feel that great because I kind of wanted him to potentially have a lower number, and that way he can capitalize on it. But to go through Butler's overall numbers just for the sake of the actual props, you said the points are at about 23.5. He's gone under in 8 of the last 10. He's gone under in about, 15 of the last 17. So I can't take Jimmy Butler's points. I feel like, once again, you're expecting him to have this monster game. Last three games of the regular season, 15, 14, and 12. Can he have some big moments? Sure. I don't want to bet it. I'd rather bet this line at like 21.5 or something and get a decent price, but I can't bet it. The argument is, once again, he's going to flip a switch. He's going to have a monster game because it's the playoffs, but I don't see any value on it. Yeah. If you're going to be inflating his numbers because of the playoffs, I'm not going to take your props at that point. And you can make the argument, once again, if Miami falls behind early, maybe they wave the flag. Who knows? But I think for Butler, I'm going to take some defensive props because we know defensively for steals especially, he's an absolute menace in the playoffs. But if you want to go, for example, steals, you can find 1.5 at plus 105. That I don't mind. He's gone over in 2 of the last 4. Recently, the steals have not exactly been there against Philly, but I think that is an option. But for Butler props, I'm not really that tempted by. I think that Embiid should have a pretty good game here. Do you think Embiid actually bothers to rebound tonight? Because that's always been an issue that we've had with Embiid. Because it's at 11.5, and he's gone under in 7 of the last 10. So I think I am pretty tempted by Embiid under, but we think the game's going to be a rock fight. So that's why we're kind of in the middle there.
And I think that the concern also is that we don't know how many minutes that Embiid is going to be out there because they also do want to keep him healthy. So he's been, I mean, since he's returned, he's been hovering around 29 to 32 minutes on average, which he's averaging 30.5 minutes per game. You said what the number was, 11.5?
It was 11.5 rebounds. The under is minus 118.
Yeah. I mean, he's had the last three games of the regular season, 12 rebounds, 11 rebounds, and 13, but hasn't really done very well rebounding against the Heat in his career as well. So I think that what you just mentioned is that what makes me nervous is that if we do expect this to be a rock fight and a lot of missed shots, then the rebounding opportunities are going to be there. And also the number of minutes that he's going to be playing as well is what makes me nervous for Embiid on his rebounding prop. His points are what, probably 30 and a half.
Yeah, which I'm tempted by the under on, actually, just based on the head-to-head history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he came back at the end of the regular season. His stats were good, but if you watched him play, he didn't exactly look that comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I believe he went to the locker room in that game against Orlando. So physically, he might not be totally there, but he's been close against Miami recently. He has gone under in three straight games against the Heat. I think if you're looking at a potential angle for Embiid, I am wondering if you think that they let Embiid go nuts or if you think that they potentially just force the ball out of his hands and try to let anybody else beat him, because Embiid assist-wise has also not been that good against Miami. His assists that are at 4.5, the under's plus 128. He's gone under 4 in three straight games against Miami. So 4.5 assists, I actually might be tempted by the under, like plus 128.
I wanted to get there with Maxey on his points at 23.5, but
I like that too. But
yeah, he's had three straight games of 30 plus. But again, all those games were without Joel Embiid. And obviously without Embiid, the shot volume is going to be up for him. The assists have been there for him as well. If you want to look at that, let's see, player assist. 5.5. It's at minus 142. So maybe if you get some plus odds at 6.5 for Tyrese Maxey, I don't hate that for Maxey. So yeah, those are the couple I was looking at. I mean, you mentioned that when we get to some of these star players here in the playoffs, those numbers get heavily inflated, and then that creates some value on the under. That's why I like kind of pivoting to some of the role players and betting on those overs. But again, we'll talk about this next game where I think that prop was really inflated because I thought it would be a lesser number. But I think those were the ones I was looking at, either Maxey points over, assists over, or Jimmy Butler's maybe rebounds and assists to go. That number's only at 11.5. But if he does get the minutes again, I think that he can definitely get over that prop. You have anything else for this game?
Well, I actually dug a bit deeper into the Embiid assist angle. I know Embiid has improved in his actual overall passing over the last couple of years, but Embiid has played 18 regular season games against the Heat. I don't have playoff numbers in front of me. I know his playoff stats were not particularly good in that series that the Heat beat them in. But just to ask, out of the 18 regular season games against the Heat, do you want to guess how many times Embiid went over 4.5 assists?
Once.
That is correct.
Yes.
He's gone under... nice job. He's gone under 4.5 assists in 17 of the 18 regular season games. This is not a regular season game, but based on that head-to-head history, under 4.5 assists is plus 128. Based on history, that's probably worth playing.
So looking at his playoff game log against the Heat in the past... or last, so sorry, 2022, he faced the Heat.
And then went to six. They go to six in that series? Five or six?
I'm really saying he's only played in four of those games. I don't know if he was
injured. He missed the game or two because of injury. So.
Yeah, and then back in 2018, he faced them. So he hasn't scored more than 25 points in any of those seven games, and he hasn't had more than... he's had more than two assists in just one of those eight games, which was four.
Okay, so in other words, if you add up those seven playoff games, that adds to the total that we already have. So,
correct.
If I got the math right, he's gone under 4.5 assists in 24 of the 25 career games against the Heat.
Yeah.
I'll take the plus 128.
Yeah.
24 of 25 is nuts. Am I lose? I know that he's gotten better at passing, which was an issue of his game. You give me a number like that at plus money, I'm going to take it.
Yep. All right, you got anything else for this game?
No. I'm trying to think of which Miami Heat role player would hypothetically go crazy in this game. It's either going to be Hero or Hakez. I don't see Hakez props, though, which kind of annoys me because I liked how he finished the regular season. I see lines on Jovic. Somebody's going to have to be left out of the rotation. Do you think Jovic actually plays? I'm not sure if he's going to even get a decent role in this game.
I don't think so. I would think that Jaime Hakez, based on the season that he's had, for the Miami Heat, I think he would probably get the minutes over Jovic.
Yeah, so I think Hawk has props. I don't see any lines on him, but when they get posted, I'll be tempted by it. Do I want Hero or Rozier? Rozier's had a neck issue. Rozier's my candidate, by the way, to have the Caleb Martin postseason where he just shoots like 80% from three. My vote's going to be for Terry Rozier. That just I feel like that checks out when Miami needs a role player to turn into prime Steph Curry. My vote's going to be a Terry Rozier. I think I do like a Hero in this game. Maybe there's a chip on his shoulder. Missed basically the entire playoff run last year. They made the finals. I think Hero might be in line for a good game. And he's played decently down the stretch. So I think Hero points might be worth a look.
Yeah, Rozier threes may be worth a look. It's only at 1.5, but it is at minus 155. Two games this season against the Heat. Sorry, against the Sixers in a Miami Heat uniform. 3 for 7 from three-point land and then 6 of 13 as well. So I don't know if you want to add that to a same game parlay. I think that might be worth a look for Rozier from beyond the arc. 1.5 right now is at minus 155 for his three-point prop. All right. Before we get over to the second game of the night on Wednesday, let me tell everyone about our friends over at Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play their pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players, they're going to have a higher or lower stat total in this week's games for a chance to win big. You can also win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Stay tuned at the end of the episode. We'll see if they do have the projections up for the two Wednesday night games. We'll put together, hopefully, an Underdog Fantasy entry for those play-in tournament games. So sign up today with promo code NBASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with our code NBASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 years or older and in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700. Or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, Scott, let's get into the second game of the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. That will be the 9th and 10th seed. The Atlanta Hawks, they are traveling to Chicago to take on the Bulls. Bulls are a 3-point home favorite with a total of 220.5. For the injury report, let's take a look at the Atlanta Hawks. So they are going to be without some front court depth. No Jalen Johnson. No Oyeke Okongwu, and we know that Sadiq Bey is already going to be missing the season with a torn ACL. We did see the return of Trae Young for the Atlanta Hawks, and also Wes Matthews is going to be a game-time decision for the Atlanta Hawks. For the Chicago Bulls, we already know the usual suspects, Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball. Andre Drummond is dealing with an ankle injury. Do expect him to be out there. Also, we already know Patrick Williams is out as well. And Adesumo is dealing with a quad injury. So do expect those guys to be out there in a win or go home situation here. But not the most glamorous matchup here between these two teams. We've got the Hawks as a 3-point dog in Chicago here. Scott, what are you thinking about this game?
Yeah, both these teams I feel like are in the play-in almost every year. But I believe Trae Young has never lost in the play-in. I think he's undefeated. They beat Cleveland on the road. They came back from a massive deficit a couple years ago. They beat Miami last year, so they have been a decent team in the play-in. it's really a difficult game to handicap because both these teams suck.
Yeah,
it's a spot where you can make the argument there are too many play-in teams because neither of these teams were above 500. In fact, the Bulls were 4 under. I think the more the Hawks. The Hawks were like, what were they? They weren't 10 under. What were they? Were they 10 under?
Hawks were absolutely terrible. I know I really like their win total to go over, but I know obviously the injuries they were decimated by that. But
to be fair, they were screwed before the injuries, to be fair. But
36 and 46, 10 games under 500.
They were 10 under. Like you should make the argument these teams shouldn't even be here. But for the sake of the actual game itself, Atlanta is the more talented team. The problem is they've been unable to generate proper chemistry or defensive focus for the entire season. And we saw that in the final game of the season, they were playing for nothing, but they gave up 157 points. I don't care how little you care about the game. Giving up 157 points is embarrassing. I don't care who's on the court, what the actual motivation is. That's sad on so many levels. But do I want to lay points with Chicago? I do not. I'm kind of treating this like a toilet bowl, where I think both these teams, once again, whoever wins this game should get killed by either Philly or Miami in the next play-in game. Give me the Hawks. I'm going to do it. Why not? I just think that Chicago, I've watched them play for most of the season. They're always in close games, which bodes well for the dog. They don't win many of these close games. Just full disclosure, we saw that in the final game against the Knicks. And I do think with Trey and with DeJounte, you can make a serious argument the Hawks have the best two players on the court. DeRozan has had a pretty good year. He's going to be a runner-up and clutch player of the year, which is an absolutely just useless award. Curry's going to win the award being a 10 seed. I'm not going to get into that rant, but that's a joke of an award. But the point is, I do think that Trey and DeJounte are better than DeRozan and Kobe White. And if we're talking about scoring depth, I do like Bogdanovich. I do like some of the options Atlanta has. Chicago got a boost from Javonte Green down the stretch of the regular season. But what exactly do they have offensively? Caruso's been good from three. He's known for being a solid defensive player. But in general, besides DeRozan and Kobe White, we know I hate Vucevic. I can't stand Vucevic. So I don't know what Chicago has. And I feel like the main argument for me in favor of Atlanta,
Chicago has the Hawks defense on their side as well.
That is true. That is true. But for me, I'm just going to treat this like a game between two teams that I don't trust. Give me the points. I'll lean to the dog. It's a spot where I don't like having money on either of these teams. I'm not going to bet this game, full disclosure, but yeah. I like the over because Atlanta's involved, and I think there's value on Atlanta because Chicago just laying 3 points is disgusting. I'll take the dog.
Yeah, again, this is going to be a game where I don't have money on the side either. I lean with the Bulls. I just don't trust Atlanta to play any type of defense. They're coming into this game losers of six straight. I think that obviously defensively, the Chicago Bulls have the better talent. I'll say that. I don't want to say they are the better defensive team. They are, but I think they have the, we'll put it that way. But if Caruso is matched up on either one of those guards, I think they're going to have a very hard time. We've seen what Caruso has been able to do in the postseason defensively, but also in the regular season, right? He's a great on-ball defender, one of the best defenders in the league.
He'll be first team all-NBA defense.
Yeah, and I don't think that a lot of people are familiar with his game. But DeMar DeRozan, I think, is going to eat against his Atlanta Hawks team, and he's had a lot of success throughout his career against this Hawks team. I'm not going to sit here and read off all of his numbers as far as how many points that he scored, but he's also been very, very efficient as well. I think Kobe White has a good game here as well. It's going to be interesting to see that if Chicago can generate anything from beyond the arc, because they really just don't have that 3-point shooting, where Atlanta, you have guys that can knock down the 3-point shot. Like you mentioned, Trae Young, Bogdanovich, DeJounte Murray, if given the opportunity, he can knock down a couple for you as well. So, and also the paint defense, I think that with the injuries that we mentioned for the Atlanta Hawks, are the Chicago Bulls going to be able to find success inside the paint, whether that's with DeMar getting to the basket or whether that's Kobe White, whether it's even Vucevic trying to, you know, contribute offensively as well. So I do think that we do see points in this game. I'm with you on the over. I think that's my favorite play in this game, is that 220.5 to go over. I think the advantage that Atlanta has, I don't know if it's a significant thing, but like you mentioned, they've been in this play-in tournament bracket and back-to-back year, so they kind of know, I guess, what it takes. I don't think it's a real tactical thing. You just got to win and you advance to play the loser of the seventh or eighth seed. So, yeah, I'll lean with the Bulls here at home. Not going to have money on the side, but I agree about the over in this game. With that, well, I will be betting over 220 and a half in this game. Player props in this game here, Scott. We talked about when it comes to the playoffs and some of these star players having inflated numbers. That's exactly what's happening right now with DeMar DeRozan. I thought that this number would be around 26 and a half. Maybe that's a little on the less side. Maybe like 27 and a half, 28 and a half.
That would be my guess. I would have guessed 27 and a half.
And that number yesterday was at 30 and a half. I think now that's seen some money coming in on the under. It's at 29 and a half. I get it. He's probably going to end up playing 43 plus minutes in this game, and he's going to get the shot volume. But at 29 and a half, I can't get there. Again, DeMar could easily go out and score 40 just because of the shot volume and the minutes that he is going to play. But, I mean, that's the one I was looking at. But I think at 29 and a half, it was just too much for me to get behind DeMar DeRozan. But what were you looking at as far as player props in this game?
Well, you mentioned DeRozan. I'll stick with actually a potential fade of his. I am tempted by the under half a three-pointer. I know Atlanta doesn't exactly guard the three ball that well, but DeRozan, we know, is not a great three-point shooter. He doesn't attempt many of them. And plus 155, I'll take a flyer on that. He's not a great three-point shooter. And we know that DeRozan isn't a guy coming around screens getting wide-open looks. Most of his threes are going to be either late shot clock isolation chucks or potentially a missed rotation and a closeout. But DeRozan's going to have the ball in his hands all the time. So I don't mind DeRozan under half a three. For that one, he might attempt a couple, but in the head-to-head, he's made zero in back-to-back games against the Hawks, so I think that is kind of intriguing. He has been taking more of them, so he has had at least one three-pointer in three straight, but he had zero the three games prior, so you can make an argument that, once again, the volume just might not be there for DeRozan. We'll see, but if that's kind of my DeRozan fade, it's a hot take, but it's plus 155, so I'll take a stance there. I like Trey Assis in this game, whether the ball should be in his hands all the time or not, it's going to be. So I don't mind Trey having a decent game. His points are at about 22 and a half, which I think is fair. If you think it's a good buy low spot, I don't mind it. But his assists are at 10 and a half, which is high, but I can't really argue with that because he has been really good against Chicago. He's had at least 13 assists in three straight games against the Bulls. He's had at least 13 assists in for the last five meetings against Chicago, so the assists are tempting at about even money. I think it's close. I think three-pointers for Bogdan is worth a look, because if Trey's going to get assists, I think he's going to be on a lot of kickouts. So I don't mind Bogdan hitting some threes. I think the main props I'm going to go with are actually game props in this game. Mm-hmm. I said before, I don't trust either team to actually show up for a full 48 minutes. Give me... I'll take the Bulls to trail by 10-plus points and win the game at plus 440, and I'll take the Hawks to trail by 10-plus points and win the game at plus 550. Give me both. I think you're going to see one of these teams with a 10-point lead. Are they going to hold it? Probably not. So I see a game of runs. We know Atlanta, even if they lose the game because they don't guard anybody, because the defense is so bad, a lot of their games are very up and down because of the defense and the variance. So give me each team to trail by 10 and win the game, and hopefully we get chaos at the end. So there you go.
Yeah, I think this is going to be like one of those high variance games that maybe one team comes out on a run and the other team makes a comeback. But again, we've seen that all throughout the playoffs, historically, I should say. Yeah, I wasn't really tempted by any other player problems this game, honestly. I just think that, again, DeMar was a little bit inflated for my liking at the number. Maybe Kobe White, 19 and a half. I can see him stepping up in this spot here for the Chicago Bulls. But outside of that, Trae Young assists would be something I would be looking at as well. That number right now is at 10 and a half. And like you mentioned, he's had success against this Bulls team as well. So those are the couple that I was looking at. Do you have anything else for this game before we do the Eastern Conference previews?
No, I was wondering if I wanted to completely fade Vucevic because it feels like a game he's going to no-show, but I'm not going to bother.
All right. So those are the two games for the Wednesday night schedule as far as the play-in tournament goes. Let's now get into our playoff series previews with the confirmed matchups that we do have. And we'll start here with the Milwaukee Bucks as the 3 seed. They are going to be taking on the Indiana Pacers in this series, the 3-6 matchup. And let's start first with the news that we did receive this morning about Giannis. So Giannis is more than likely going to be missing the first couple of games. Game one for sure. I'm thinking game two for sure. Maybe he's back for game three.
Probably depends on where the series is at.
So that's the news right now for Giannis. So I would anticipate him being out at least for games one and two at minimum for the Milwaukee Bucks. And now the odds have reflect that because yesterday before this news came out, the Bucks were -175 to win this series. Pacers were around +150, +145, depending on the number that you got. Right now, the updated numbers with that Giannis news is the Pacers are now +110. So when the series currently over on DraftKings and Milwaukee Bucks are now down to -135 to win this series here, Scott. So let's actually get into the series here. It seems like now the Pacers... So let's start with the season series first. I'll start there, and then we'll get into our series picks here. So these two teams matched up 5 times during the regular season, and that's including the in-season tournament between these two squads. And you know, a lot of people remember the whole fiasco about the game ball and Giannis winning the game ball, and people are turning this two teams into some type of rivalry. But in the 5 games these two teams win head-to-head, the Pacers are 4-1 straight up, and 4-1 against the spread, 3-2 to the over. But the average total in those games was around 255 points. And the opening total for this game is right around 234 for game one. But as far as the series here, Scott, Bucks -135, Pacers +110. How does this injury now impact this series for Giannis?
Well, I feel like I already expected a long series to begin with, and I feel like most people are going to take Indiana based on the injury news now, especially when we covered the line last night and the line was a lot bigger. I do expect Giannis to definitely miss game one. I think he is probably going to miss game two. It might depend how game one goes, because Milwaukee might look at it and go, we can't go down 2-0 at home, and then maybe Giannis forces himself back in game two. We'll see what happens there. On the Mothership show last night, I ended up going with a prop, which I'll repeat for this episode. I think it's going 7 games, just simply put. Indiana, I recognize that this team is definitely equipped to handle Milwaukee, especially if Giannis is out, because the pace is there, Milwaukee's defense has been underwhelming, and Dame has been a shell of his former self. So if we're expecting Dame to carry this team offensively with Giannis being out, people are skeptical of that idea. Now, I do think Indiana has a problem because they're really bad at paint defense. So I think Bobby Portis can have a monster series in this. I think that you might end up seeing the Bucks dominate the free throw disparity in this matchup. So we'll see what happens. But I think for the sake of this series, people can roast Doc Rivers, which makes sense because he's an all-time choking head coach. But we talked about it on the Mothership show yesterday. Carlisle has not made it out of the first round since he won the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Since they beat LeBron in 2011, Rick Carlisle has never made it out of the first round.
Yeah.
So he's been a really bad coach too in the playoffs. So I think that the coaching, you can argue, isn't even, but I think it's closer than people want to make it out to be. I'm not a Carlisle guy. So just full disclosure on that. I think for the sake of the series, though, I think experience matters. Halliburton was not great down the stretch. Mathurin's still out for the year. There are question marks for both teams. I'm going to lean to Milwaukee. Do I feel great about it? No. Am I going to bet it now? No. Because I need to know when Giannis is coming back. But yeah, I think there might be a little bit of value on Milwaukee if you do think they can stall until Giannis comes back. And I'm also going to throw out a prop that was my favorite play for the actual series. I am going to try to capitalize on Giannis missing the first game. So I am going to go with the Pacers to win game one, Bucks to win the series at plus 400.
See, I was thinking, I think for Milwaukee, I think that game one is probably going to be the most important game of the series. Because I think that if the Pacers do win game one, I think that just gives them all the confidence in the world that, hey, now we have home court advantage stolen in this series. And again, I think game two
is the most important, personally.
Yeah.
Because Milwaukee might look at it and go, well, Giannis is out game one, so we can kind of punt that one. But if the Pacers win game one and they win game two, you could argue the series is over. Yeah. And if they split, then Milwaukee's going to be happy because they stalled for extra Giannis games. Yeah. So I personally think game two is more important than game one.
If we end up seeing a split, then I think you probably end up seeing Giannis come back for game three because there might be 2 days off in between. Yeah. Games two and three, obviously, since there will be traveling back from Milwaukee to Indiana nonetheless.
I think Milwaukee would be thrilled with the split. If Giannis doesn't play, they'd be thrilled with the split at this point.
I want to take the Pacers here, but again, it's like...
Is the value gone for you?
It's gone. It's absolutely gone. I mean, you could have got this at the beginning of the... When these numbers first came out, I think Sean said he picked up a 2-1 on the Pacers, if I'm not mistaken. But now it's gone. I mean, it's at plus 110. It's probably going to get closer to even money as we get closer to tip off of game one here. So I think this might be a series where you live bet the series price, meaning after games one and game twos and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just interested to see how the Milwaukee Bucks do come out and who's going to be the focal point of this offense. Now, obviously the answer is going to be Dame without Giannis in there, but Dame has been a shell of himself for the entirety of the season. He's had moments, but it just seems like he's just not comfortable in this offense. And I know it's his first year with the Milwaukee Bucks after spending his entire career with the Portland Trail Blazers, so everything's new for him. It's a new city, new organization, new arena, new all that. But again, it just goes back to the fact is that, do you trust Doc Rivers? And you can also ask Rick Carlisle as well. I just think there's some type of advantage the Pacers have against this Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, I think that was on full display during the regular season. I think they're going to run and gun. I think they're just going to fly up and down the court. Are the Indiana Pacers? And they play their brand of basketball. I'll go with the Pacers here in seven games here. I think they find a way to get it done.
You have them winning game seven in Milwaukee.
I do.
Does it concern you that Giannis will probably be back for game seven?
And then the question becomes, how effective is he going to be as well?
Yeah.
Like, wasn't it like Kevin Durant had the calf injury and then it turned into a Achilles injury as well for him?
At the end of the playoffs last year. He's playing, but he's dragging a leg behind him.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So, I mean, we've seen crazier things happen. I'll go Pacers. Pacers in seven. But if they do win, like you mentioned, the first two games of the series in Milwaukee, this series is pretty much wrapped up. And then the question becomes, how soon or do you bother bringing Giannis back at that point? Or do you rush him back at that point?
I think you have to.
Yeah.
You fired your coach midway through the season. I don't think you have a choice. Now, this team is not good enough to win a title, obviously. They paid Doc Rivers a bunch of money for several years to be the head coach, which is hilarious in hindsight. Doc is fine because Doc has an alibi now.
Yeah.
We would have won if Giannis was healthy.
Yeah.
And they were going to bring him back anyway because they're already paying money to all the former coaches. I think Budenholzer's still getting paid. Griffin's still getting paid. They're not going to pay Doc on top of that and then bring in a fourth head coach. So Doc is fine. I think the argument is they are going to bring Giannis back no matter what. Because they can't afford to go home, and they invested way too much in trying to make this work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. We all know it's not going to work, but I do think Giannis will come back. I do not see a world where they shut down Giannis at any point and say, you're out for the entire series. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But then again, if they go down 2-0, then they're probably going to rush him back. And how effective is he going to be being rushed back, especially dealing with a calf injury? So with all that being said, I'll be a little bit contrarian here. I'll go with the Pacers in 7. Any other series props you're looking at? I know you mentioned Bucks too, or you said Pacers to win game 1 and then the Bucks for the series, but anything else that you like as far as the series goes?
So that was 4-1. I want to quickly see what Milwaukee is in 7. Milwaukee in 7 is the favorite at +290, which I think sounds right.
Yeah.
So I found 8-1, by the way, on the Pacers in 7, if you wanted that. But
okay.
I mean, 290 sounds right to me. I'd rather take the Pacers to win game 1 and the Bucks to win the series at a better price.
All right. All right, let's get over to the second series in the Eastern Conference. That's going to be the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers, the 4-5 matchup in the Eastern Conference. Taking a look at the series odds between these two teams, the Cleveland Cavaliers -195 to win the series, and the Orlando Magic are at +165. These two teams matched up twice during the regular season, and I believe the Magic won 2 out of the 3 matchups between these two teams during the regular season. I'm sorry, 4 games, and they split. So 2-2 each, 2-2 against the spread. The over was 3-1 between these two teams during the regular season. Scott, let's start here with the series winner. Cavs are -195, Orlando Magic +165. What are your thoughts on this 4-5 matchup in the Eastern Conference?
I understand why Cleveland's favored, but the line's disrespectful. That's how I'm looking at it. I don't think there's much separating these teams. On paper, Cleveland is the better team. But you watch them play when everyone's healthy, there's no chemistry. I think these guys do not play well together. I think that Garland and Mitchell are a pretty underwhelming backcourt where the individual parts are better than the whole when you actually look at how they've played together. Same with the front court. Do I like Allen and Mobley? No. I think they're a bad duo. I think that we all hope that Mobley's out because Allen props are insane when Mobley doesn't play because we're biased as bettors. But I don't like their starting lineup. I think that chemistry's been an issue. They had a random mid-season peak where they won like 19 of 20 games or something absurd, 18 of 19,
yeah,
and they fell off a cliff again. I think that was a fluke, just simply put. And you're looking at Orlando. Is there a chip on their shoulder because Cleveland intentionally lost the last game to face Orlando? Maybe. Maybe there is. There should be. You could argue it doesn't matter, but I also wonder what the focus level is for Donovan Mitchell. Because Mitchell has probably one playoff run left with Cleveland because he's leaving in the offseason, maybe to Miami, maybe to Brooklyn. We'll see what happens. But is he going to check out mentally in the middle of the series? He might. We saw him check out against the Knicks last year in the middle of the series where he wanted none of it. And people kept waiting for Mitchell to have a classic Mitchell playoff game, and he didn't have any. In fact, he was a complete liability the entire time in that series. So I don't like the chemistry. I'm not a Bickerstaff guy. Orlando was not great down the stretch. I get it. They did beat Milwaukee in the last game. They won the division. So shout out to them for cashing the preseason 6-1 price for us. But I think Orlando has more chemistry, and I think it's a close series. So based on value, I'll take Orlando +1.5 games. I like -140. I'll take Orlando to win the series. And my fun spin, which is not really that realistic, but I like the price in general. I think the series screams 7 games to me. So I think that you're going to see a very long, very ugly series. Orlando to win in 7s, like 7-1. Do I think they're going to go into Cleveland and win a game 7? Maybe not, but I like the price. So give me Orlando to win in 7 at about 7-1.
I think Orlando does win all of their home games in this playoff series. Because again, we talk about they've been one of the best home court advantages or home court teams, I should say, in the entire NBA this season. Now, a lot of people argue, does that really matter in the playoffs when it comes down to it? Because when you want to win, the hardest games to win are on the road. And that's what kind of makes the difference of you winning a championship or advancing, not even winning a champ, but at least advancing in the playoffs, right? It's winning that road game. If Scott, if I asked you, who do you trust more to win a road game here? Is it the Magic or is it the Cavs?
Who wins the first road game?
Or who? Yeah.
I don't trust Cleveland.
I think I'm starting to tilt that way as well. I know I picked the Cavs on the Mothership show yesterday, but it's concerning to me that I think we can say that Orlando's maybe playing with house money as well. And they, again, they didn't have a they didn't have a great into the season. I mean, there was a stretch where, again, they were losing games. I think they were, what, in the 2-3 seed, and they fell all the way down.
They lost to Charlotte. They lost to
Houston. So they lost to some opponents. Yeah. And again, although every team kind of goes through those type of stretches during the regular season. But I think that what the key point that you did mention is that I think the team chemistry for the Orlando Magic is a lot better, and they play more as a team versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, who you may have guys like Donovan Mitchell, who may have an individual agenda, you know, trying to find that success in the playoffs. Ben, I agree with you 100%. This is going to be the last series, last time you see Donovan Mitchell in a Cleveland Cavaliers uniform before he goes to, you know, South Beach, whether it's to Brooklyn or whether it's to the Big Apple with the Knicks, wherever the case might be. So I think you've changed my mind here. I think I'm going to go with the Magic here as well. I think they're a gritty group.
Well, the price is off in general. For betting purposes, the price is way off.
Yeah, especially between a 4-5 matchup. And that may be a lot to do with the lack of experience for this Orlando Magic team in the playoffs, right? Because I think something similar to like the OKC Thunder, where a lot of those guys don't really have that playoff experience. I think something similar to Minnesota a couple years ago, where they finally broke the, what, I don't know how many some odd years since Kevin Garnett took them to the playoffs.
Well, Jimmy Butler made the playoffs one time.
Yeah. But again, I think for Orlando, defensively, I think they can give this Cleveland Cavalier team fits, especially in the backcourt, right? I think Jalen Suggs, the front.
I think Isaac's going to get the Mitchell.
Yeah, you've been, you know, very, very, very high on Jonathan Isaac as well, and rightfully so. I think that if he gives fits to a guy like Donovan Mitchell, then you're expecting somebody else outside of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland to step up. I do like the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers addressed their three-point shooting in the offseason before the season started with Max Strus and George Niang. I think those two guys are going to be key for this Cleveland Cavaliers team. The difference, I think, when we look at the end of the series, and I think that if Cleveland won this series, is because they did a lot better shooting from beyond the arc, because Orlando has been one of those teams that haven't had a lot of success from beyond the arc, and they just don't have those three-point shooters. So when I look back at the end of the series and go through the boxers that, hey, the games that the Cleveland Cavaliers won, they probably shot a whole lot better than the Cavaliers did from, or sorry, the Cavaliers shot a whole lot better than the Magic just from beyond the three-point line. But when we talk about team chemistry and things like that, I think that the Magic are definitely have the advantage for me there as well. So I say all that to get on the Magic here, just because, again, like you mentioned, that this number is wrong at plus 165. I do see some plus 175s out there, so definitely shop around for the best number. So Orlando Magic, in six games, I think they get it done. And then we'll see Donovan Mitchell moving on from a Cleveland Cavaliers uniform. You mentioned the +1.5 for the Magic. Anything else that entices you as far as series props?
I don't know if I have much for the sake of fun props. Do I think Orlando can actually steal game one? I might be a bit skeptical on that idea. Cleveland to win game one and Orlando to win the series is 4-1, if you want to do it that way, which might be worth something. I mean, 4-1, I think, is fine. I think Cleveland will win game one with the home crowd in Cleveland, Orlando playing basically its first playoff game for most of the roster. So I don't mind that prop. Looking at Cleveland to win game one, lose the series at 4-1.
All right. So that is, again, the two series for the Eastern Conference that are confirmed. And again, once we do find out what the 1-8 and the 2-7 matchups will be in both conferences, we'll do that later this week to do those series previews. So right now, at least the four total ones that we do know from two from each conference. So we've done the previous four here on the last two episodes. Scott, let's do our lock and dog for the play in tournament games on Wednesday night, and then we'll give like a series best bet from the ones that we did talk about here in the Eastern Conference. So Let's do our lock and dog for the play-in tournament games between the Miami Heat and the Sixers, and then the Hawks and the Bulls. You want to lead us off?
Sure. All right. So for my lock, I'm curious if I want to go player prop angle or not. The Embiid assist thing I mentioned before, maybe I'll get back to that later, but I think for the sake of this matchup, for the lock, give me the over in the Hawks game. At the end of the day, they don't guard anybody. Even if I am picking Atlanta to win, it's not because they're suddenly going to wake up defensively. I just think their three-point shooting will get hot enough to get the job done. Chicago is an okay defensive team. We know Caruso is a solid defender. We know Vucevic is an abysmal paint defender. So I do think that if Trey can capitalize on pick and rolls, I think he'll be able to really create a lot of holes in this defense. But give me the over at about 220 and a half. I just see a lot of points in this game. The first two meetings this season ended up breaking into the 230s. The second meeting landed at 262. Third meeting was lower scoring. That one did land 211. But I do think you're looking at a spot where these teams offensively should look pretty good. Give me the over as my lock in that one. For my dog, am I going to go with the Embiid prop? You know what? I might. I thought about Philly 1-10, but I can see Miami winning. I think it's going to be a close game. So give me Embiid under 4.5 assists at plus 128. We mentioned the numbers. He's gone under in 17 of 18 regular season games against the Heat. If you throw in the playoff games, that means he has gone under in 24 of the 25 career games he's played in against the Heat. I know he's gotten better at passing. I know his assist numbers were solid at the end of the year. But if you're going to give me a prop at about plus 128 for a guy that's gone under in 24 of the 25 head-to-head meetings, I got to take it. I see plus 132, actually. Give me plus 132 on Embiid under 4.5 assists.
All right. For my lock, I will go under 207 in the game between the Heat and the Sixers. We talked a lot about how great these two teams have been playing defensively since the All-Star break. And also pace is a huge thing for me as well when I'm, you know, looking at totals. You know, like we mentioned, Miami playing at the second slowest pace since the All-Star break, and also the Sixers at the fourth slowest pace. So do expect to see some half-court offense in this game, a lower scoring game between these two teams. So I'll go with the under 207 as my lock. For my dog, this is where it gets a little bit tricky. I think DeMar is going to be the catalyst of the offense. So I think I just take all points with DeMar, like 35 plus, and just have fun with it.
Is there value on that, though? Because you already think the number is inflated as it is. So
yeah, and it's only at plus 185. Yeah, I thought it would be more.
That's not even a good deal at all.
Yeah, at more at 2-1. Let's see. What's Kobe White threes? Okay, I'll go with that. Kobe White threes is 2.5 at plus 130.
Okay.
I think that if they end up trying to double DeMar or try at least to get the ball out of his hands, then your other offensive option is Kobe White. And we've seen Kobe White rise to the occasion, especially since Zach LaVine was done for the year for the Chicago Bulls team. I know the volume is going to be there as well for a guy like Kobe White. He averages close to about 6 attempts per game. And I know he hasn't been shooting it well from the three-point line in the season here, but I think the looks are going to be there for a guy like Kobe White in this game against the Atlanta Hawks. So I'll go Kobe White over 2.5 three-pointers made at plus 130 as my dog. All right, Scott, so let's give out now a best bet for the two series that we talked about between the Cavs and the Magic, and then the Bucks and Pacers. Either series, if you want to give one each or just one, I'll leave it up to you. Just one best bet.
All right. So for the actual best bet, I just want to quickly shop around. I know what I want. I just have to find if I can get a good overall deal. Let me just quickly see what I got. I'm trying to find the series spread. There it is. Okay. Yeah, I see Orlando plus 1.5 games at minus 134 on FanDuel. I'll take that. I saw 150. I think it was on DraftKings. 134, sure. I'll take that. I think Orlando can win the series, but I see it going seven. We think both these teams are flawed. We think the series should be ugly. It's on NBA TV pretty much every game, so hopefully you enjoy it. But I think that it's going to be a competitive series at the end of the day. I think Cleveland is a team that's more talented on paper, but we saw them quit against the Knicks. You can argue they were more talented than the Knicks last year, and they got punked by Mitchell Robinson, where Jared Allen and Mobley did basically nothing in the entire series. And I do think Orlando defensively can give this team problems. And my concern for Cleveland, if Isaac gets put on Mitchell and Isaac actually clamps him down, also not sure if Mitchell's fully healthy, separate point. If Mitchell's going to have very inefficient shooting nights, we know he's not going to stop shooting. If Mitchell goes like 8 of 22 in a couple of these games, are they going to win? Probably not, if I had to guess. So I think that's going to happen. Give me Orlando plus 1.5 games, competitive series. You mentioned how good they are at home. So if they win all their home games, I still win this bet anyway. Give me the Magic plus 1.5 games and minus 134 as my best bet. For my dog in the series, I think I am going to go with Pacers win game one, Bucks win series at 4-1. I like the price. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think the series is going to go seven, and it's going to be a long series. You have two coaches that in the playoffs over the last decade have been really bad, and they've been involved in a lot of competitive series, and they've been on the wrong side of it. But I think you're looking at what should be a very interesting series. The Pacers might peak early. They're still inexperienced. Haliburton has not been great down the stretch, but I do like the prospect of them winning game one with Giannis being out. So give me Indiana to win game one and Milwaukee to win the series at 4-1 as my dog.
All right. For my series lock, I wish they had like a prop where does it go seven games?
Well, I mean, you can just take the over 6.5 if you wanted like the alt total. You can.
Yeah. And I can't find a price on that either.
I probably can.
Yeah. See if you can find it over 6.5 for the Pacers and the Bucks game, if you find over 6.5.
Sure. Give me a second.
I'll probably take that as my dog.
Plus 230.
All right. Yeah. So then I'll take that as my dog. So over 6.5 games. So to get to seven games between the Pacers and the Bucks, I'll take that as my dog. For my best bet for the series, again, it's just too much value. It's a lot of value, good value on the Magic at plus 165 for my lock there. I will go Magic in six games. Let me see what that number is, exact outcome. Magic in six is at 5-1.
Okay, it's not bad.
Yeah, let's do that. Magic in six games. 5-1. They should be able to wrap it up at home. And like I mentioned, I think they win all their home games, and then I think they just got to steal one in Cleveland. And I think this Cleveland team, like you mentioned, that if they get down 2-1 or 3-1, this Donovan Mitchell say, hey, I'm ready to move on. I think that might just be a case for them. So I'll give you two then. Let's just go Magic to win the series at plus 165, then also Magic in six at 5-1. Let's have some fun to start this first round here. So all over the Orlando Magic here. They were really good to us starting at the beginning of the year, taking their first half spreads. That was an absolute cash cow. So hopefully
they won us a division 6-1. I got to pay it back.
Yeah. So again, Magic, we're on the Orlando Magic train here for them to win the series plus 165. And then for them to get it done in six games is at 5-1. I know we didn't get an opportunity to do an underdog fantasy entry for the Western Conference play-in tournament games because they didn't have lines up at that point, but let me just double check because I know we got a few tweets about it and some messages in the Discord. If we were going to,
well, I do want to ask you if they have underdog options for the games tonight and the games for Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Are we sticking with the script and doing the Wednesday? Or do you want to do the games tonight?
I mean, I think we could do both right now because they have lines up for, they have, options for both. So, because Terrell and I didn't get to do one yesterday because they didn't have them up at that point. So We could just do two separate entries here. What we'll do, we could do one for the games on Tuesday night, and then we'll do the ones for the Wednesday night games as well. So let's start with the Lakers, Pelicans, and then Warriors, Kings here for tonight, Scott. Anything that you are thinking from those two games?
Well, I want something with LeBron. I'm just not sure what I want.
Yeah, and I know Terrell liked Sabonis' PRA to go higher, and I agree with him just because about the number of minutes that he's going to have to end up playing here tonight.
Okay.
And that's at 40.5. It was at 37.5 yesterday, so that number has significantly moved. That sucks. But
okay.
Yeah, so either we go PRA 40.5 or we go rebounds and assists higher 21.5.
Do we just want rebounds?
Rebounds at 13.
Are the Warriors going to use Looney? They kind of stopped using him that much.
Yeah. I think they may.
Because Looney owns him. That's why I'm asking. Looney kind of owns him. That's why I'm wondering if they're going to stick with Trace Jackson or not.
Yeah. Or do we go De'Aaron Fox?
I think Fox has to shoot the ball like 25 times in this game.
Yeah.
So I'd probably look for a Fox points if I had to start somewhere.
Yeah, it's at 29.5.
I mean, we know the volume's going to be there.
Yeah, so yeah, let's go with Fox because that number has significantly moved for Sabonis on his PRA. All right, so we'll start with Fox, higher 29.5 points. You mentioned LeBron. Do you want to go PRA, points and assists alone?
Assists I was tempted by, but I am wondering if they're going to switch up their game plan and maybe LeBron just goes nuts early in this game instead of passing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the numbers are for LeBron?
For what?
Just for everything. Just run through.
So points, 26.5. Points and assists is at 35.5. Points and rebounds are at 34.5. And then PRA is at 44.5. Assists alone is at 9.
I think rebounds, 26 sounds short. Because AD's kind of banged up with the back issue. And LeBron, even with that like 17 assist game, I think he still scored 28 points. So
yeah.
I like the LeBron points.
All right, so we'll go higher on Braun points, 26.5. And then let's do one more. I think it's either Brandon Ingram or Zion. I think one of those two guys. I feel like Brandon Ingram's points are a little bit low at 18.5.
He also hasn't played many games recently since he came back
from injury. Yeah, I saw a note that Willie Green did say that he's going to see a lot more minutes here against the Lakers as well. So that's what I'm considering. You want to go like Valanciunas unders?
I was going to say, I think if I had to pick between the two of them, I don't want Zion Hires in this game. I just think that the Lakers are going to sag off of him. We know he's not a great shooter. So I think that Zion might struggle. If I had to pick one of those two guys, I'd pick Ingram.
Okay. Do you want to go higher on Ingram then?
How many minutes did he play in that game against the Lakers in the finale?
He played 20, I think it was 21, but he did finish with 13 points and 5 rebounds in 20 some odd minutes. He was 6 of 9 from the floor as well.
I'm just trying to think if when you hear the word like significantly more minutes, I'm trying to estimate in my head what that would
look like. I think like he scored 30 plus at minimum.
He played 23 minutes. He had 13 points on 6 of 9. I mean, 6 of 9 shooting is still solid.
Yeah.
I would probably go higher. It depends maybe on the actual game itself and how close it is.
Okay.
I think Ingram probably plays 33 minutes in this game, so I don't mind Ingram higher.
All right. So for the Tuesday night Western Conference play-in tournament games, our entry is going to be De'Aaron Fox, higher 29.5 points. LeBron, higher 26.5 points. And then we'll go Brandon Ingram, higher 18.5 points. That $10 entry will get you a $60 return for the Tuesday night games. And then let's get over to the Miami Heat and the Sixers and the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls here. So let me see what Embiid's at 5 assists. You want to go lower on that?
I think I have to, right? It's 24 of 25 games.
Yeah,
I can't go. So, actually, it's 25 of 25 because the one time he went over, he had 5.
Yeah. So, all right. So we'll go lower 5 assists on Joel Embiid. Where else do we want to go? You said you like Tyler Hero or Rozier.
I would lean to Hero in this game because I'm not sure how good Rozier's neck is going to be for this matchup. So
yeah. So Hero's 19.5 points. You want to go with that?
Sure. That's fine.
Okay. We'll go higher.
Well, unless you actually, you know what? You think we're better off just going with two plays from the Hawks game because we like the
over. Oh, yeah. We like total. The over in that game. All right. Yeah.
I don't know if I want to take Hero 19.5 if we think the game's going to be a rock fight.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So let me go to the Atlanta and Chicago game. All right. So you want to go like DeMar? You want to go.
Can I ask what Bogdan threes is on Underdog?
Yeah, Bogdan threes is at 3.
Okay, let me just quickly see.
He's probably like 2.5, like -160 or something.
I was gonna say he's gone over 2.5 in 12 of the last 20 games, so 60%. He's had at least 3 threes in 6 of his last 7 games against Chicago.
All right, yeah, sold.
I think we got to go higher on that.
Yeah, so we'll go Bogdanovich, higher 3 3-pointers made. And then we'll need one more. Do we want to pick someone from the Chicago side?
You want Kobe?
Kobe's at 19.5 points.
You mentioned the threes.
Like yeah, his threes, it's at 1.1. A higher, spicy.
Okay. That's good, isn't it? We get
no, the books had +130.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
Yeah, we're losing about 20 cents there. Okay. We're like Trae Young assists.
I thought about it, but it's at 10.5. So I'm trying to think if I actually want it or not.
I think Kobe White points.
You know what? I got a better idea. You want Capella rebounds because we know Vucevic can't rebound to save his life.
Yeah. Well, let's see what that number's at. And again, he's gonna have to play.
He doesn't try to rebound that much.
12.5 is a number for Capella.
You have any thoughts on that?
I think that he's going to have to play the minutes, especially with the injuries that we talked about for the Hawks, not having a Kongwu and not having Jalen Johnson. So I think the rebounding opportunities are going to be there for him, unless it's DeAndre Hunter that we think gets the rebounds. He's at 5.
Has Hunter been good at rebounding lately?
That's a good question.
He's going to have to play a bunch of minutes anyway because he's going to be getting the DeRozan assignment. So.
Yeah. Let's see. DeAndre Hunter.
Historically, he's been good at rebounding against Chicago. He's at least 4.5 in 3 of the last 4 head-to-head meetings.
Yeah, so he had an 11-rebound game against Miami. Other than that, 2-2-1-3. And then against the Bulls, like you mentioned, let's see. He's averaging 4-6-6-9 over the last 3 games. He had 6 each in the 2 games that he played against him this season.
I'm just quickly checking something. I'm curious if I want potentially Caruso lower than for assists. That 5.5, that feels very, very large. I mean, he has done well assists the last 2 games of the season, though. Last 3 games, actually. But historically against Atlanta, he's been a complete non-factor passing the ball.
What do we think about his blocks and steals higher 3 or steals higher 2?
Steals higher 2? If it was 1.5, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, at 2 is disgusting.
Let's see.
I mean, I don't know if you want DeJounte or if you... that's the problem with this game, is that there's not many options of guys you actually
Drew
like.
Drew saying Zion assist. Trey
okay,
Murphy.
Okay, you know what? You want to go for a defensive prop? Do they have DeRozan Do they have DeRozan less than half a block?
DeRozan...
very obscure, but the trends back it up.
The lower's at 0.85, but yeah, they have it.
Sure. We'll go with that. He's had 0 blocks in 5 of the last 6. Fun fact, he's had 0 blocks in 7 straight games against Atlanta.
All right. We'll go with that. All right. So for the Wednesday night underdog fantasy intrigue, we're going to go lower than on Joel Embiid's assist at 5. Bogdanovich higher 3 3-pointers made, and then DeMar DeRozan lower half a block. That will turn into a 5.1x. So every $10 you put, you'll get $51 in return. There we go. So DeMar DeRozan lower half a block, Bogdan Bogdanovich higher 3 3-pointers made, and then Joel Embiid lower than 5 assists. For the Wednesday night games for our Underdog Fantasy entry. Again, go to underdogfantasy.com. Make sure you guys use our promo code NBASGPN and come cash in with us for the playoffs starting over the weekend, but also for the play-in tournaments like we just spent some time there on. All right, that is going to wrap it up for this edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast. Play-in tournament games kicking off Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then we'll be back later in the week to break down the who will be playing for the eighth seed in their respective conferences, and then we'll preview the 2-7 matchups as well for each conference. So a lot of content coming before the official playoffs tip off this weekend on Saturday. But Scott, anything else you want to mention before we get out of here?
Not really. Once again, looking forward to the games tonight. They should be fun. Besides that, yeah, looking forward to, you know, covering postseason basketball for the next couple months.
Yep. Should be a lot of fun. Again, kicking off tonight on Tuesday for the Western Conference play-in tournament game. So hopefully it's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow for some more NBA playoffs content. And so look out for us then. Make sure to follow Scott on Twitter at Rice Show Radio. You can follow me there as well at SportsNerd824. And you guys, if you haven't already, make sure you guys subscribe to the NBA Gambling Podcast YouTube channel if you haven't done so already. All right, we'll talk to you guys later on. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and let it ride. Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball.